now more than ever, you need a source of news you can trust. And you have such a source in WYPR. Members are our most important source of funding, and we need you now more than ever so we can continue to keep you informed amid the pandemic with honest, accurate journalism. You can make a pledge at WYPR.org. If you're a sustaining member, consider an additional gift or increasing your monthly pledge. We could not be here without you, and we thank you so much.
This is Anibon Basu with your Monday Morning Economic Report. As indicated by The Economist magazine, in any economic upturn, the last group of workers to prosper are typically the poorest earners, whether low-skilled shop staff, food preparers, caregivers, or temporary workers. The compensation of lower-skilled members of the workforce was walloped during the Great Recession, and the ensuing recovery has been agonizingly slow, that is, until recently. In Maryland, unemployment is just 3.8%. Nationally, it's just 3.6%, essentially a 50-year low. In Wisconsin, it stands below 3%, a record low. Official figures indicate that average hourly earnings are up 3.2% on an annual basis nationally, which represents solid, albeit not astonishing, growth. It is not simply the operation of unfettered markets that are pushing wages higher. Many states and localities have bulked up their respective minimum wages, pushing up compensation at a time of strong demand for workers at every skill level. According to Elise Gould of the Economic Policy Institute, in states that have increased their minimum wages at least once during the five-year period ending in 2018, incomes for the poorest rose by an average of 13%. It rose by less than 9% everywhere else. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Tuesday Morning Economic Report. First-time homebuyers represent a key element of America's housing market, but student loan debt and a dearth of affordable homes are weighing on this segment. As indicated by Bloomberg, new entrants to the real estate market have dwindled since the financial crisis. During the early 2000s, first-time buyers represented 42% of home purchases. Today, that figure stands at just 33%. A lack of available housing inventory hasn't helped. Options are slim. Competition is fierce. The availability of cheaper homes, for which first-time buyers often compete, is about half that of pricier options. According to the National Association of Realtors, the median first-time buyer pays $204,000. It is not enough to simply find a home to purchase. One also typically needs a mortgage. While it helps that mortgage rates are near half-century lows, it doesn't help that many prospective buyers have defaulted on student loans. Student debt delinquencies, wherein payments were more than 90 days past due, rose to a record level last year and far exceed delinquencies on other borrowing like credit cards and automobiles. Nearly one-fifth of the U.S. population holds a student loan, nearly double the level in 2004. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Wednesday Morning Economic Report. When we think about the nation's hottest economies, we might have a tendency to think about Silicon Valley, or Seattle, home to Amazon, or New York, Los Angeles, or Miami. But more people moved out of each of these places than moved in last year based on statistics pertaining to domestic migration. As indicated by writer Eduardo Porter, Santa Clara County, California, home to Silicon Valley, lost nearly 25,000 people to domestic net migration last year, representing a ninth consecutive year of loss. Indeed, 8 of the 10 largest metropolitan areas in the nation, including each of the aforementioned, lost people to other places. If one analyzes the nation's 44 largest counties, each with populations above 1 million, 30 recorded more domestic outflows than inflows in 2018. Many of these communities are hotbeds of innovation, so why are people leaving? The answer is that while these large, innovative communities are great for people with elaborate credentials, including college and graduate degrees, they often prove too expensive for just about everybody else, prompting those with fewer credentials to find markets offering more affordability. Many of those leaving these communities have a high school diploma and no more. For WYPR, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Thursday Morning Economic Report. The Federal Reserve Bank has conducted its annual survey of household well-being in America since 2013. As indicated by writer David Harrison, over the past 6 years, survey results indicate that there has been steady improvement in the average American's economic circumstances. Indeed, by all accounts, this is a good time for the U.S. economy, with economic growth and job creation elevated and inflation and unemployment low. Despite that, there are many Americans who are just barely hanging in there, one bit of bad luck away from financial disaster. The survey found that 17% of Americans were not positioned to pay all of their bills during the month of the survey. In many instances, this means foregoing payment of rent, mortgage, credit card, or utility bills, at least partially. Approximately a quarter of adults skipped medical care in 2018 because of an inability to pay, and about 40% suffer unpaid debt from unexpected medical bills incurred over the past year. Nearly 40% of Americans indicate that they don't have enough cash on hand to cover a $400 expense. In most cases, these respondents indicate that they would have to rely upon credit cards or loans from family and friends to make ends meet. For WYPR and my esteemed producer, Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Friday Morning Economic Report. Yesterday, we focused upon a Federal Reserve Bank survey that indicates that despite the ongoing economic recovery, many Americans continue to lack any retirement savings and that nearly 1 in 6 Americans have difficulty paying their bills in a given month. Many others are foregoing necessary medical care, and 1/5 of adults indicate that they were hit with unexpected medical bills during the prior year. Only 36% of non-retired adults believe that their retirement savings are on track, and 1/4 have no retirement savings or pensions. But that was Thursday's Morning Economic Report. Today is Friday, so it's time to talk about some of the more positive results emerging from that survey. For instance, 75% of adults indicate that they are doing okay or living comfortably. That's up 12 percentage points from the period of the initial survey conducted in 2013. As one might expect, adults with a bachelor's degree or higher are substantially more likely to be doing at least okay financially. The share of college graduates indicating that they are doing at least okay is 87%, though among those with a high school degree or less, that proportion stands at a far more modest 64%. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu.